Father, once again, we come to you this day. We thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, the opportunity that we have to get to come to Sunday school and to church, we thank you for that. We thank you for the brothers and sisters that have gathered here. We thank you for every teacher now, Lord, is about to open the word and to teach your word. I pray, God, you give us the liberty we need and the wisdom we need, Lord, to present your word in a way, Lord, will be encouraging to the students that we have. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor, everyone that's here that has a part in this work. If there's nothing but just to pray and support it, Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here now. Lord, we just pray your blessings upon this time we have. May your word, Lord, be what we need today as we read it and we study it together. And Lord, most of all, we want you to be glorified. And God, there's one in our midst somewhere on this campus today that's lost. I pray they might be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Several weeks now we've been talking about God's remedy for a sick nation. God's remedy for a sick nation. The world we live in is not like it used to be, amen? It has changed drastically. But you know, it's an amazing thing to me as we look back in history, even in the nation of Israel, we have the same problems they had. They had the same problems we have. We're all in the same mold, so to speak. We all sin. We all come short of what God wants us to do and to be. And yet God still loves us in spite of us. That's an amazing thing to me, how God can love us regardless of who we are, what we've done, and he still loves us. It's remarkable to me of God's amazing love. But we talked about last week, again, for several weeks, how the book of Chronicles is considered the books of hope. The books of hope. There is hope, people. There's hope in the Word of God. God gives us hope. The only hope I have in this world is God. He's the only hope I have. He's the only source I have of my strength that I need to go by day, and I depend upon him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 through 9, we see the reign of Solomon. Solomon, David's son, of course. We see Saul, there was David, and now here's Solomon. And well, we said last week how God's always had a man. He's always had a man to do his work. And we see King Solomon was raised up here, and we see in these chapters how God bountifully blessed him. He blessed him with wisdom to preach and to pray. And we last week in chapter 6 as we went through the prayer of dedication here for the temple. My, what an amazing prayer that was that he prayed and how he presented to his heart to God for the people that he was in charge of, so to speak. And we see that the God who is worshipped in verses 14 through 18 in chapter 6 last week, we looked at them and how the God of Israel is an incomparable perfection. God, you cannot describe him. You know, you cannot describe God, who he is, but we know that there's none like him. There's only one, and that's him. There's no other like him in heaven or earth or anywhere, but he is the God of Israel. He's able to do everything he said he would do. What he speaks is true. What he says he'll do, he'll do. And, you know, thank God for a God like that. He's faithful. He's kind. God is all of these things to us daily in our lives. And we see this. He is an infinite being. He is an infinite being. We see in the key to the book of Chronicles is to seek God. To seek God. Folks, that's our key today as an individual, as a church, as a nation. Is to seek God. We need him. We need him. As Brother Offer saw already pray, our leaders need God. They don't really recognize that. We need to pray for their salvation. We need to pray that God will save them. If God would save these men that's in office, my, what a difference this country would be in today. We need to pray for these people that God will save them. That's what they need. And we need to pray for God to deal with their hearts. We also see that seeking the Lord is a secret of salvation, finding who we are, recognizing who we are, recognizing what God's done for us, how he's made a plan for us to be saved. It's also the secret of living the Christian life. Day by day, seek the Lord. God being our guide. God being our guidance as we go through every day in our life. Now, why so much emphasis on the temple? We know there was a tabernacle with David. Now here's the temple. Why was there so much emphasis on the temple? We talked about that last week briefly as we go over this again. First of all, it was a symbol of religious authority. In other words, it centralized or localized the worship of God in Jerusalem. There was a place now people would come to worship God, and that is Jerusalem, that is the temple. They come there for that specific person. It also was a symbol of God's holiness. God's holiness. They were inspired to respect God when they see the temple. You know, the church used to be that way, did it not? When you see the church of God, it was a place of respect, a place of honor for God. May God help us to bring that back to this country. But here in this temple was a place people inspired to respect God when they came to God's temple. We also see that it was a symbol of God's covenant with Israel. The people there kept their focus upon God because of the tabernacle, because of the temple. Their thinking was more about God. You know, we think about what we see, don't we? We think about what we read most of the time. And we never think about it. We never pick up God's word and read it. We won't think much about it. Here was a temple now in the midst of these people. And they helped them to keep their focus upon God's law. It also was a symbol of forgiveness. People brought sacrifices there for their sins. And they were forgiven of their sins. A place, a symbol of forgiveness, the temple was. It also was, it prepared the people for the Messiah to come in the New Testament. It also was a testimony to human effort, if you please, and what they did with God's help, the creativity that God gave them, the ability, the wisdom that they gave Solomon, all the people there, to put together this great temple. Magnificent work of God through mankind. And we see that it also was a place of prayer. People would come to pray in the temple. Come to pray in the temple. You know, I'm so glad that I live in a dispensation of grace. The dispensation when I'm saved, the Holy Spirit lives within me. And I have access to God anytime, any place. I don't have to go to a physical location to pray. I love to come here and pray around this altar. I thank God that I can pray anywhere I want to pray, though. We don't have to go to the temple to pray. Now, in chapter 6, verse 41 through 42, Solomon's summary of his prayer to God for the nation of Israel, for God's people, is this. First of all, his request, or his summing it up, he says that God would take possession of this temple and keep possession of it. This is God's house, God's place, where people meet God at. God abode there. He lived there, okay? That God also would give mercy to people, his people, when they repented and came to him at this place. God would have mercy to him, to the people of God, when they came there. We also see that he will make it his resting place. His presence would always abide there. His presence would always be there. I'm so glad that God's presence is always with us. Always with us. Again, we live in a great time, folks. And also, he summarizes and says that about the service of the temple would bring joy and satisfaction to God's people. They would enjoy being in the temple to worship the Lord and praise him and thank him for all he's done. This was the summary of the prayer of dedication here that David gave in chapter 6, the last two verses there. Now, today we get into chapter 7. What is God's response now to David's prayer? Solomon's prayer. What is God's response now to Solomon's prayer in dedication of the temple? In chapter 7, we find two things here. We find, beginning with verse number 1, we find the public answer from heaven, and then we see the private answer in a dream or in a vision to Solomon. There's two answers. First of all, there is the public answer that God gives Solomon, and then there's the private answer that God gives Solomon in a dream or a vision. Now, Solomon's signs is in verses 1 through 3 that God answered his prayer. We see that Solomon's sacrifices mentioned in 4 through 10. But let's look first of all here at God's answer to Solomon's prayer, his public answer in chapter 7 and verse number 1. Notice he says, after he prayed the prayer, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. We see here God's stamp of approval, please, upon the prayer that Solomon prayed. We see here it consumed the sacrifices, a visible proof here of God's approval. Have you ever prayed and asked God for something or about something? And you prayed and prayed and prayed, and you know, just like no answer, no answer. And if I, you just in agony and in very sincerity, you go before the Lord and you say, God, please give me a sign. Give me evidence that what I'm praying is right and what I'm praying is for your glory. And God, give me some answers here. I've done that many times in my life. And miraculously, seeing how God has given me a sign of something that's, what I did, it was right. What I'm praying for is right. And God gives me a sign that, you know, this is what you need or this is what you don't need. It can be one way or the other, you know. Many, many times God works out that way in our lives. But here we see his public answer was fire from heaven. Fire from heaven. I can't imagine. Can you imagine fire from heaven? I mean, these storms come by and all these things that we have on this earth nowadays, they're drastic things, they're terrible things. But here, fire from heaven comes from God down here and amongst these people here, and we see that the sacrifices are all consumed in verse number 1. Now, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. The glory of the Lord had filled the God's house. My, my. The glory of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord. I've often wondered what that glory was. The glory of the Lord filled the house now. The splendor of the Lord, the majesty of the Lord filled his house so the priest could not go into the house. This is God's answer. God's answer from heaven to Solomon concerning his prayer of dedication, you see. We see the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord. They could not enter because of the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Now look at verse number 3. The Bible says this, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, what did they do? They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. My, what a sight that must have been. What a enjoyment that must have been for the children of God to recognize. Now, God has sent them proof of the dedication of prayer that Solomon had prayed here. And we find here they were encouraged to continue here daily with their feast that they were about to go upon. They bowed their faces to the ground and they worship and praise the Lord together. You know, there's no sweeter thing than to be in God's house and worship and praise God together. No sweeter thing. And here they were in the midst of this event that took place. How God sent fire from heaven. And we find here the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And they could not even go into the very presence where God was because God was in there. You know, it's good to sense God's power and God's presence in our midst, is it not? It really is. I love to have this to take place in our services that we'd have many, many times here at Fellowship Baptist Church. But we see here that Solomon, we see here things that took place. We see also the temple is dedicated by the multitude of sacrifices. Look in verse number 4. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Many sacrifices they brought before the Lord when they saw what God give approval of what Solomon had prayed. And we see that they did this, offer many sacrifices. And then we see after that in verse number 5, they said, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. My, what a sacrifice. All these oxen, all these sheep, Solomon gave as a sacrifice unto the Lord for this. Solomon, we see here they had a feast. And they had a feast beginning with verse number 6. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites, also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry and the priests, sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollered the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the barren altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Can you imagine all these animals here as Solomon offered these things? All these oxen, all these sheep. I mean, we get excited about a pig picking, don't we? Man, this was a big picking, wasn't it? I mean, this was a big event in their time, you know? And they're all excited. Of course, there was hundreds and thousands of people there too, no doubt about that. But this was a special event for the children of Israel to witness the very fact that God's stamp of approval upon Solomon's prayer and the event here that took place here. So we see the public example by fire that took place. And we see also in verse 11, we see the accomplishment here. The work has been accomplished. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart. And to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. We see here he completed it. He completed the work here. You see, as he prayed here, the work was completed. The work was accomplished now that God had done. Solomon prayed earnestly to the Lord, dedicated the temple to the Lord. God approved his prayer by sending fire from heaven. The glory of the Lord filled the house. They offered sacrifices together as people, and they witnessed the feasting by doing this and worshiping God together. All this event had took place now, and they were all excited, and the work had been accomplished now that Solomon wanted to do, as far as the people wanted to do, as far as building the temple. The temple's there, and now they can use the temple to go to meet with God. So we find here that this has all been accomplished now, and now we see this was his public answer by fire from heaven. But notice in verse number 12, you know, it's kind of like, kind of like this next week. The young people in our church are going to go to camp. They're going to go there and they're going to get all excited. They're going to be all excited. You know why? Number one, there's not going to be any televisions. Okay? Number two, there's not going to be any computers. No cell phones. Folks, I'm convinced if we get this trash out of our life, we'll be a lot better off. We'll be a lot better off. They're not going to have none of that kind of stuff. They're going to have recreation. They're going to have teaching and preaching. They're going to have devotions. They're going to have all these things, you know. And they're going to, by Tuesday and Wednesday, they're going to be so excited they can't stand themselves, you know. And towards the end of the week, they're going to be more excited because they're where God is and where God wants them to be, doing what God wants them to be doing, you see. And therefore, while they are there, they're going to get excited about the Lord and think about the Lord because that's all they have to think about. Right? They don't have TVs, internets, and all this kind of stuff to think about. But they think about the Lord. And about Friday, they're going to be so excited. Friday night's going to be the commencement of all, or climax of all of it. And whoever goes to get them on Saturday morning, when they go pick them up and bring them out, after they eat lunch, all you got to do is drive, because they don't talk, they sleep. All the way home, they'll sleep. You know, it's peaceful on the way home. It's not that way going, but it's that way coming home. And they're so excited. And you know what? The campers were excited too, the people that worked there, the counselors and all that. But you know what happens on Saturday morning when everybody's gone? The camp is empty. And it's dead. It's dead. Well, this is what happened here with Solomon. All these feasts had taken place, all these offerings, all this event taking place now, and the prayer was, and God had stamped his approval upon his prayer, and they have recognized they have a place now to worship God, to be with God in God's presence and all that. And now here's Solomon. The day's over. Okay? Now he goes home and goes to bed. He's going to rest. Solomon's going to rest. But look what happens in verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon when? By night. Remember over chapter 1, verse 7? When did the Lord appear to Solomon? By what? By night. Look at it. In chapter 1, verse 7, Solomon, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And he asked him a question. What shall I give thee? What did Solomon say? I want what? Wisdom. I want wisdom. I don't want riches and all this stuff, but God culminated him with all of it. Wisdom and all kinds of riches here. And here we find again, now, the Lord appeared to Solomon again by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Solomon, I've heard your prayer. Now, this is God's private answer to Solomon. The first one was his public answer from heaven to all the people. But now we find here in this verse, 12 through 22, his private answer in a dream or a vision by night. By night. Notice, first of all, he promised to own this house for a house of sacrifice to Israel and a house for prayer for all people. This is what it's for. Notice in verse number 13, he says this. He says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Notice, he says in verse number 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If, Solomon, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. There are three things he says there. First of all, he says, if I send no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or the pestilence among the people. If I send all these things among these people that have been here with you today, all these people, these afflictions, these events take place in your life. Notice the next verse. This is the climax here. He says in verse number 14, if my people, I like that if. If who? Tell me. My people. If my people, that's the people that been with Solomon. That was the people who went with him through the dedication, all these events, feasts and all. He says, if my people, I'm glad I'm part of God's people, aren't you? I'm glad I'm part of God's family. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, if we're God's people, we're called Christians, aren't we? We should be Christians. We should let the world know we're Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Man, there's a big four steps, isn't there? He says, if my people, which are called by my name, number one, shall humble themselves. Number two, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. God said to Solomon in a vision at night, laying there on his bed, Solomon, if my people, the people that you're leading, if they will pray, if they will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek me, if they'll do that, God made a promise to them. Notice what he says. I will what? Hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now, God said this to Solomon at night for God's people. Now, this certainly is applicable to the Israelites, to his people of Israel, but it's also applicable to us today. Because he says, if my people. He didn't say if Israel. He said, if my people. That's all God's children. That's all God's children. And this, to me, is just applicable to America today as it was to Israel then. If my people, God's people. Folks, we owe a lot to God that we'll never be able to pay him. Amen? We can't pay God all we owe him. But this is one thing. This is something right here we can do. We can do it. It's going to cost us something. But if we as God's people will do these four things, we'll see a great change in our country. I really believe that with all my heart. He promised also to answer the prayers of his people in this place called the temple. If there was any kind of affliction upon them, he says, no rain, locusts in the land, or pestilence among them. If they've come to this place called the temple and pray, God says, I'll have mercy upon them. I'll answer their prayers. I'll answer their prayers. Listen, we don't have to come to church to pray for God to answer our prayers. Thank God we have a church building to come to pray and ask God to answer our prayers. But as Brother Alford already said, we need to pray. We need to pray sincerely for our leaders. I must confess to you and to God, I don't pray for our leaders like I should. I don't. I need to pray more for them. And I'm beginning to realize for the last few months that I need to pray, first of all, for their salvation. Because that's the answer, folks. If God could somehow miraculously save their souls, that would make the tremendous change in this country that you're not able to witness. They need to be saved. They need the Lord in their lives, in their hearts. We need to pray for their salvation. May God not have to stop the rain, to send locusts and pestilence amongst us, or disease, or all these storms. All these things God's sending around us in this world today. I mentioned the other week, the sharks in the water, the sea. All these things that men are making a mountain out of, is God's evidence. God's trying to witness to us. Hey, people of mine, you need to pray. You need to pray for your country. You need to pray for one another. If you'll pray, if you humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven. We need to accomplish those four things in our life, first of all. Humility is number one. Being humble, praying, seeking God's face, and turning from our wicked ways. These things are things we need to do in our lives today. God appeared again here to Solomon in a vision, assuring his answer to his prayer. He appeared by night. He says in verses 1 through 4, I've heard your prayer. Solomon, I've heard your prayer. Okay? I have chosen this place for myself, a house of sacrifice, in verses 5 through 7, in chapter 7. And he says in verse 14, again, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. If my people. I can't blame Obama. I can't blame any politician for the way the country's in. I can't blame them. I look in the mirror. And I just ask myself, have you done your part? Have I done my part? Have I prayed for these people? God put them there. God put them there. But have I prayed for them? Have I prayed for them like I ought to? You know. Prayer is probably one of the most neglected things that we have, that we do in our Christian life. But yet, you know what? It could be one of the most powerful things we could do in our life, is to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for God's people. Pray for God's people, you see. We need to recognize when we do pray that answers are not in self, but they are in God. They're in God. When I pray to God and ask Him for something to do something, it's not because of me, it's because of Him. God answers our prayers. Not me, but God. But God answers our prayers when we pray. My people, call by my name. God made this promise to Israel and still reigns and still responds to his people, even today, that humble themselves. God responds to us. He will respond to us as a nation. I believe that. If we would just pray. If we would pray. And seek God's face and God's will for our lives, you see. And turn from their wicked ways. Turn from the wicked ways. How do I say this? Sometimes we as Christians, I'm afraid, no matter how long we've been a Christian, a few weeks or a few years or a long time, we have the tendency sometimes to think, I'm okay. I'm okay. But sometimes we need to really examine ourselves before the Lord. We really do. And say, God, show me what's in my life that shouldn't be there. Help me, dear God, to confess my sins. Help me to confess my sins. You know, if I go a day of my life and don't ask God to forgive me my sins, I'm one step towards going away from God. One day. That's all it takes, one day. It may be something I know I've done, something I know I should have done that I didn't do, whatever it is. But every day, I don't want to make it a practice or a habit. I want to make it official to God and ask Him to forgive me of my sins. And help me to be what I ought to be the next day. Most of the time, that's the last thing I do. When I lay on my bed, I lay there and I talk to God for a while, and I ask Him to forgive me of my sins that day. Lord, I know I've done something wrong, or maybe, Lord, I don't know I've done something wrong, that I have done wrong. Please help me. Humble ourselves before God. Humility. Folks, pride is a dangerous thing. Pride is a very dangerous thing. And we can get so busy in life, the busyness of life, even the ministry, even as a Christian, you get so busy that we don't take time to be alone with God. And we need that time, folks. We do. I don't think God measures the spirituality of a person because of how busy he is and he's always doing something for him. I think God measures some of our spirituality because they take time to be with God. Time to be with God. In prayer, in meditation, just getting away from wherever you are. My wife and I were on vacation this past week, and it was a rejoicing time for us. We just spent time together with God. Not all week, but a lot of that week we did. It was refreshing, folks. It's refreshing to get away from the world. Get in a place that's quiet. Get in a place where there's nothing. Like I talked about the kids, they're going to be in a place, no TV, no computer, no nothing. Get away from it, folks. We need to do that. Satan has got us all hooked. The busier I am, the more spiritual I am. Well, that's not necessarily true. We need to stop sometimes and get along with God. Get off the train, so to speak, and rest. Rest. By the way, our bodies are what? The temple of God. We wear them out. Always make sure we're doing it for God. Okay? Here we find Solomon, his prayer. We see God visiting him in the night again and assuring him, this place is my place. The temple, God says, is my place. It's a place for God's people to come to. No matter what happens to them, the pestilence comes, the rain don't come, the locusts come, whatever. If my people will come here to this place and pray and seek my face, he said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sins. Folks, we have the same promise today. We have the same promise today. And it's my prayer that God would enlighten us and encourage us to go through these things the next few weeks. We're going to talk about them. It's verse 14. We're going to major on that verse. And we're going to trust God to help us to see what we can do as God's people to make this place a better place. God wants you and I to be part of it. He does. He wants us to enjoy the blessings of God of being these people, like he talked about to Solomon. May the Lord help us. As God appeared to Solomon, may God appear to us. May God appear to us the next few weeks. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God to encourage us and to enlighten us with things in the past, God, that you've done and how you've helped your people. And God, certainly America today, we as your children here in this world today, we need you as much as they did in that day they were in. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to do our part. Lord, we're your children. We thank you for saving us. And God, we just ask you, Lord, to direct us every day. Lord, may your people be encouraged today from your word. And maybe this week as they read chapter 7 and study it. And God, may we, again, from your word, find that we need to be what we ought to be for you until Jesus comes. Bless them. Their service about to go into. Lead, guide, and direct. Bless our preacher. Bless our singing. May all we do here today bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.